Hey, this is Anders, and you're listening to TCR.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the Center Ring, TCR for short, also known as your favorite esports podcast. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim, the co-host. He's always here, but you can call him Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
He's always here?
Yes, you are here every episode. You're like,
this guy seems to like just hang around the studio and we start recording.
Factual statement. You are always here. Anyways, episode 29 of TCR coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date is Monday, April 25th, 2016. The time, we'll call it 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I'm going to laugh. We got 4 minutes. Somebody's going to say something and it's going to be wrong. And it's because our
news will break at like 9:28 and it will be wrong. But anyway, we'll call it 9:30 for the sake of the episode. We have a pretty good episode, I must say so. In fact, I'd probably dare to say it's going to be the best episode we've ever done. Even better than the others. Because for this reason, we are talking about Heroes of the Storm. EU had their summer regionals in the professional Heroes of the Storm division. We got to sit down and watch some of that at a reasonable time, no doubt.
We got to watch the EU one, yeah.
Yes, at a reasonable time. So it is possible.
You can do it.
You can do it. You have ESL versus Team YP. The drama thickens. You thought Team YP just had to like change their name and sponsorship and, you know, disassociate with YouPorn. But it's not enough. When playing by the rules is not enough. We'll discuss that where Big Brother enforcing the law. When will it end? We will, of course, end the show with the micro. We have tons of things to touch on there. You had Smash Summit 2, some match fixations going on in StarCraft. We will touch on all those in the micro to wrap up the show, your favorite segment of just stories where we don't have time to get to. And you know, there wasn't a huge Counter-Strike tournament this weekend, but that doesn't discontinue the fact that there were news to discuss in Counter-Strike. And that news is some roster moves, some roster drama, might I say. These are not your normal moves, I feel. I feel like there's more of a story to be told on some of them.
Juicy.
Where do you want to start with these roster moves? I mean, we're going to touch on Liquid and then the Cloud9 pickup. We can touch on Cloud9 just because that's a real short
one. Yeah, let's do Cloud9 first.
So Cloud9, obviously Freakazoid left. We touched on that last episode, and they ended up picking up Slemmy, who overall is not, you know, he's not your flashy name. He's not Cloud9 picking up Adren. He's not Cloud9 picking up, you know, Sean Garris again. He's not your flashy name. And a lot of people actually really didn't like this pickup out in the Twitter sphere, out on the internet, which, by the way, was not working for me today. So these are show notes without the internet, presented to you by Verizon, because my internet went down. Anyways, so we had Slemmy was picked up by Cloud9 yesterday. He's not really going to be playing with him as much at the moment because his previous team, which was in the qualifying league in ESEA, qualified. So now you have that weird rule where you can't play for two teams in the same league, essentially. So he has to basically play out that season or that tournament, whatever, you know the rule. And a lot of people didn't like this pickup, mainly because, like I said, he hasn't been relevant in the hardcore professional scene for some time. And people refer to him as a pug star, which, Lord knows, Cloud9 has kind of been known for being pug stars.
I don't even know if I'd call him a pug star.
Well, I mean, you have Shroud, where if you watch his stream, you would think Shroud is the greatest man to ever touch a mouse and keyboard and play the game.
But well, I'm talking about Slimmy specifically. I'm not sure I'd even call him a pug star. I mean, his HLTV ratings only dipped above 1.0 one time in the last 3 months. I mean, he's supposed to be an in-game leader, right?
Right, and that's what they picked him up for, and that's what where people are, I think, missing the point where, you know, they weren't looking for that run-and-gun player. They were looking for someone who is going to act as an in-game leader, which, by the way, in the ESL Pro League that they played in, the day they picked him up, they played matches with him that night, and he was in-game leading that very night, which is no small task to that overlook.
That speaks to Cloud9's complete lack of leadership in general.
Yeah, you are correct in the sense of if you were so desperate to get someone in there, it's kind of the theory of, you know, sink or swim. You threw him in the pool and we're going to find out if he can swim.
Right.
But at the same time, I agree with you in the sense of nothing did not feel comfortable in-game leading. And that's why they picked up Slimmy, who is supposedly going to be their fix. Another point that I wanted to bring up to everyone freaking out of who is this guy? Well, who did you want them to pick up? Like, who is out there that you felt like Cloud9 could get? Because it feels like Cloud9 is on this really bad rotation of roster moves where when somebody leaves their roster, no one is really available. Like, that was the same thing when they picked up Stewie 2K and they had to justify it to everyone. Where,
but I mean, Stewie 2K, granted he was a new player, right? He did put up like kind of impressive numbers like before he got picked up.
But it was the same reaction of why Stewie 2K. Like, you could have picked up a lot of other players out there, or, you know, theoretically, in quotations, you could have picked up, because obviously we don't know contracts and things. Like for instance, a week ago, the rumor was floating around that Adren could be going to Cloud9 because he was practicing with them after Freak right. left. And now there's a whole nother mess where that didn't work out, because now Adren is back with Liquid, which we'll get on here in just a second. So it's not as simple, I feel, as just, oh, well, just get this guy. He's not on a team or whatever. I think Cloud9 is trying to go away from their normal formula of just picking up the best free agent out there. And they're trying to look for people to grow and fit their mold.
The mold of the team, yeah.
That's what they're looking for. Even look at Stewie 2K, because you got to think, when every time you pick up a free agent, does Shroud and Nothing really have to go on their Twitch account and give a statement on why they did it every single time? Like, that probably isn't the best way to pick up roster moves, but they tend to do it. But they're not looking for the big names. They're looking for people where they feel that they can grow with and kind of coach up.
I mean, but
which, again, in the guy, NA scene, who are you going to pick
the
up?
The guy's
right now?
25. And I'm not about to say that's old.
No, but in that means I have a chance.
That means in esports, that's old.
Because I'm not going to lie, I'm 25 and I was thinking, man, do I stand a chance in Heroes of the Storm going professional? And now I do.
There you go. Alec Slimmy White has made that possible for you. He got picked up at 25. And he's only gone positive at LAN two times. So not only can you be 25,
there's
you can
factors,
be not
though.
Good.
Hey, every team needs a bottom fragger. And I've always said that.
So but I mean, it's not like he was playing. I mean, it's not like he was playing top tier teams. He went positive.
And it's not like he was with top tier teams.
Well, he
teams.
Was playing with Splice for a little bit. He's stood in for Splice or played with Splice for a good portion of 2015. And the RGN show series is one of the places that he actually went positive. And that was kind of the first time that Splice kind of made a little bit of a splash in the NA scene as far as teams go.
I think, though, this is my final thought on it. I feel, again, that Cloud9 picked him up for his leadership role, in the sense of they feel like they can probably coach him up to be one of those top NA on a, you know, perform on a top NA team, not necessarily a top player. You don't need to be a top player on a top team to be relevant. But I feel they also are hoping that he can help put order into their game. Because I feel like with Cloud Nine, that's what they've been missing. Where a lot of people have been saying that from the get-go, where they just need somebody telling them what to do and basically reminding them that they're not what they used to be.
So I've been saying forever that Freakazoid was the thing holding back that team, but I just don't see this as being that much of an upgrade right now.
I don't know if it's going to be as much of an upgrade as far as skill-wise, but leadership-wise, definitely.
Right.
Because I don't think Freakazoid had any type of...
Would you rather have Sean Garrison Freakazoid or Stewie 2K and Slimmy?
Well, that's...
Slammy, Slimmy.
We'll have to wait and see. My clock for Stewie 2K is fastly approaching. I did say, give it till DreamHack?
6 months, yeah.
I did say when they picked him up back in January, give it 6 months, give it to DreamHack, and we could see how that's going. I would have to say picking up Slimmy helps his chances of staying on the team a little longer, because typically you don't pick up an IGL and then immediately start switching around other players, unless that IGL is just calling the shots,
If this IGL keeps his current performance going, Stewie is definitely not going to be the...
No, I mean, this could maybe even make Stewie 2K look a lot better.
Yeah.
Which he hasn't been, you know,
he hasn't been awful, but he's been great either.
But neither has Cloud9.
Yeah.
You know, you could say, well, yeah, Stewie 2K hasn't been doing that well. Well, no one on that team's been doing that well.
And that's kind of...
And I know they're saying Skadoodles,
was logging 45 hours a week right now on Counter-Strike trying to improve his game. And that in the game that we did end up watching, it was for the ESL Pro League, I think. Skadoodle was doing really well with the op. He was hitting some pretty impressive shots, you know, kind of in the groove. But when you have a roster that's turning over as often as Cloud9 is right now, it's hard to
find that groove in it.
To get the team going. So
only time will tell. Their first big tournament should be DreamHack next week. Two weeks from now.
I hope Slimmy's got some defaults he can teach pretty quickly.
We'll see how that goes. But moving on here, you have more... We kind of touched on it last week, but the story apparently was not fully finished. You had Simple. So last week, to catch you up to speed if you didn't know, Simple ended up going back home to Europe. At the time, still part of the roster, but quote-unquote visa issues forced him to go home. And he was kind of up in the air. It was a question mark on when he will be back. Well, then quickly after our show, we recorded, I think it was the next day, go figure.
Always happens,
where the news broke that, no, he's not just there temporary. He's going to stay home in Europe. And he is off the Liquid roster. Playing roster. He's still underneath. He's still tagged as a Liquid member right now. But he is no longer playing with Liquid. They will help him in any way they can in finding a new team, aka if you pay us enough money,
we'll let him go.
We'll let him go and you know he can play for you. But that's it. The swan song of Liquid is done.
It's so frustrating because at the MLG Major, seeing everybody so behind Liquid and Simple, specifically and Simple, he came out and people were cheering for him. It sucks that...
And if you think...
It sucks that the situation was mismanaged to the point where Simple just wanted to leave altogether.
If you think, well, okay, how much of a difference is Simple going to make? Well, he wasn't the only one who left the organization this week. You had GB James, the head coach of Team Liquid, leave due to... What did we want to say?
Managerial decisions. I mean, I'm going to chalk it all up to that.
They had different ideas on where they wanted to take the team. That's how the news was written. Is basically they agreed to disagree and went separate ways. I'm assuming he probably wanted to go one way with the way to build the roster, and the organization was, you know, no, that's not how we're going to do it. So James is no longer there, and Simple's no longer there.
Liquid has gotten rid of more people on that team than they've picked up in the last 2 months.
So their roster now is Adren, who is going to, I assume, be rifle off Opper. You have Kusta.
Is it Adrin officially playing again? Like with
Liquid?
Yeah,
he is officially their fifth man.
Okay.
You have Kusta, who's going to be the Opper, which Simple actually stated on his Twitch stream that is part of the reason why.
You want the quote?
Yeah.
So quoted from Simple on stream. First of all, they promised me I'd have a good role, a role that I'd like. So it's going to be an AWP role. Then they bring in Kusta and he can't play with rifle. And then he went on to elaborate that Simple said, well, why don't we use two ops? They said no.
So there was disagreement right there. So Kusta, I assume, is going to be the Opper. And then you have, I assume, Hiko is going to continue. Well, would you assume, is it safe to assume Hiko's going to IGL?
I would think
Hiko would. Or with Adrin being back.
I think Hiko's going to continue doing it because he was doing it
at MLG. And that's where they saw this success.
He did say that Adrin was helping, I believe.
Which, you know, let's stop right there because I have this, like, there's this thing going around in CSGO where people feel like there can only be one IGL. But having, you know, second opinions and everything helps.
It might even be good to have a second off IGL, such a silly term. But that way your strategies kind of change up a little more often than if the same person, you know, because you can get into a rut really quickly calling the same defaults over and over again. So having somebody that can
keep it off keeps call it fresh.
Keeps it fresh. It keeps people guessing. But you also lost James, who was heavily assisting in the in-game leading decision making. Yeah,
that goes. So it's safe to assume that going forward, Team Liquid is going to look very, very different from the Team Liquid that everyone saw at MLG and was hoping to see go forward. Because just within the span of a couple months, you had Simple, you had Nitro leave, not Nitro,
Fugly
leave, and Simple replaced him. Then you had butting heads with Simple and Adrin, which by the end of it, Simple said that he'd much rather play with Adrin.
Which I don't know now if that was personalities were working out or the fact that Kusta is an Opper and he would rather play with Adrin.
I think that had a lot to do. I think it's Adrin was a better rifler and Opper than Kusta is, in my opinion. And Simple would rather have had that, a more versatile player, where Kusta is not the greatest with a rifle.
Right.
So I think that's where it went. But so then you had that. Then they kicked off Adrin for Kusta. And then you had that rotating door as they saw fit. And now Simple's gone and Adren's back and Kusta's on the roster. And no one could have saw this coming at any point in time. They cited it was because he was homesick. But he is only, what, 18?
He's 18. He was homesick. But Liquid made it very difficult for Simple to be here. I mean, I'm not trying to put all the onus on the team, but
as far as they made it difficult, how?
They made it difficult because Simple was isolated from not just his friends and his family, but he was saying that they wanted to boot camp. And then instead of boot camping, Simple went back to LA by himself and all the other members went to their respective homes. And, you know, for somebody that's halfway across the world and wants nothing but to be with their girlfriend and family or whatever, and then you see all your teammates that get to fly off and go do that. And then Lick would be like, no, you have to stay here.
So would you say then that Liquid dropped the ball as far as handling a way to handle a foreign player?
Oh, yeah.
And dealing with emotions?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think so. I think that,
because, you know, this makes me think, and it might be a crazy reference, but when Alex Ovechkin from the Washington Capitals, so he was, I think, 18 as well when he came over from Russia to play hockey here in the NHL. It was the same thing where they took a risk, they drafted him, and it was the first time he was ever leaving the country, and it was to come move here away from all of his family and friends in America, and they put him with a senior player. But you can go and read reports where, like, the Washington Capitals organization, who albeit has more resources than Team Liquid. But they did like everything in their power to make him feel at home.
Yeah.
You know.
And well, you look at Nichushkin here, and that plays for Dallas, also a Russian player that came over at 18 years old, you know, fresh out of the draft. The first thing they do is they put you with a family, like a host family, so that you're not just sitting in an apartment by yourself.
Just twiddling your thumbs thinking, gee, how nice would it be?
Yeah.
You have to feel wanted. And
not only did Liquid, you know, he got homesick. Everybody was, I guess, I'm not trying to say that he was alone 24 hours a day, but I'm sure, you know, everybody went their respective ways at night or whatever. And it was just simple chilling in LA by himself, at, you know. But then they started telling him, you know, that the in-game stuff that he thought he was going to be doing, that you're not going to be doing that anymore. And I hate to like, I like Team Liquid. I have a t-shirt. But they handled the whole simple situation, which could have been amazing.
So the saga continues for Simple because it's no longer with NA. I asked you this the other day. Do you still think Simple will be the NA golden child when he like comes back to a tournament here?
No.
Like, because in MLG, it was such... I mean, he was the focus of it all.
Him and Hiko were... And they're big names. They're big names on an NA team, but I don't think he's going to have the same kind of reception. I could actually see, based on some of the bias, you know, before all this of him being toxic and not being able to play with teams, that he might even like get a backlash from
turn
it.
Around now where it's, yeah, like, okay, well, so that saga will continue. Who knows where he's going to end up? Apparently there's something that's going to be announced. Guarantee it's going to happen tomorrow after we record and post this episode.
Actually, they're probably typing it up right now.
They will be there. And then as far as James goes, he's still looking for, you know, he's not out. He's not out of CSGO. So he's, you know, well, it's not the last time we saw GB James either. He's looking to remain in a coaching role. Maybe Cloud9. I have their t-shirt. That'd be simple. That would be an easy transition.
Was that a simple pun? Did you mean
for that to happen, but...
But that'll work.
Now that my natural talent is just kind of coming out, like, I think it did. I think it did. Moving on, though, so Team YP, who, for all arguments, I believe YP stands for YP, but they're sponsored by YouPorn, right? YouPorn, if you're over the age of 18... and you have your own computer, and you're not in public, Google it. It's a pornography website. From what I hear, I haven't been there. I've never. For research for the show, I went. And so
and you lost like 4 hours?
Yeah, so like, you know, I've done some research on it. But they're sponsoring, you know, they have their own esports team. How long ago would you say they came out?
Oh.
Has it been a...
Yeah, it's probably
about
been
a, from when we started the
year.
Show, right?
It's probably, well, I think it's been a little bit longer than that.
Well, I think they've been talking about it for a while.
I will say that, and we're going to dive deeper into that or into this, I'm sure. But it was around the time that we started the show that Team YP removed every link to YouPorn from their team's website.
Okay, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of when we started the show. So essentially, ESL has officially banned Team YP from anything to do with ESL. If it's an event and ESL is there, and it's their event, Team YP will not be there. And it's all because of the sponsor of YouPorn. Like, people think, like, there's a thing going on now where it's Team, what is it with the pig?
YouPork.
YouPork. Okay, so that's like their new spoof thing is YouPork, and it has a picture in the background. This has nothing to do with like the team name being Team YP. Okay? This is all based off the sponsorship being YouPorn, which, you know.
So the problem is that every time junk like this happens, you hear about YouPorn. You don't hear about Team YP, and ESL's complaining about it being the sponsor. And that even if they do change their name, it's still the sponsor.
And that's my point.
And everybody's going to know.
It has nothing to do. I mean, they could be named, you know, the, I don't know, the Indians. it doesn't matter what they're called. Is my point is they could be called the Bulldogs. If YouPorn is their sponsor, that is what they have an issue with. ESL has a right to ban whoever they want to ban from them. You know, ESL has not, you know, they haven't been shy to tell you they don't want certain sponsors. I mean, they were the ones banning a lot of the gambling. You know, that's a lot of the Counter-Strike teams who had gambling in their main as their main sponsors. They can't do that anymore at ESL, and that's why a lot of those organizations had to change names. Now, of course, this is just having your name as that. Not they didn't care that it was a gambling sponsor. They just didn't want that being the focal point of your team. This is the sponsor, which is a much bigger issue because it's not a simple team name or a jersey change. This is like affecting the players under their name, where you have guys, I mean, they're big in Street Fighter. They have Valmaster.
The Street Fighter stuff was its whole other situation.
Yes, that's exactly, yes.
Because Valmaster for yes. Capcom Cup had to change, to drop the title spot, or drop the YP name tag, and they had issue, to add custom jerseys that had a censored logo on it.
Yeah, and that was a weird thing to where you say, okay, so you're not upset about the sponsor, but it was the jersey.
Well, it was a total Barbra Streisand effect where like people like, don't look at this, don't look at this, and then everybody on the internet wants to look at it now. Yeah, everybody that jersey.
And they have nothing but support. Because you have Dragon, that's their StarCraft man. And they have guys with Mortal Kombat. They have the female Counter-Strike team. So, I mean, they're relevant in the sense of how many players that they're supporting. And now, all the players are very supportive of them. No one's left yet. But it's going to have to be a thing where YouPorn is going to have to decide if it's something they want to even put up with. Is this so much to where YouPorn... this is not the first time a porno organization has to deal with discrimination for being what they are.
So I wonder, this is me wondering out loud, does Team YP really want to be separate from YouPorn? And the reason I say that is if Team YP honestly wanted to be separate from YouPorn as a sponsor with just YouPorn backing it, you could very easily shut it down, stay quiet for 3 months. People in esports have very short attention spans, and then come back as a different team, and then not say like, we're sponsored by YouPorn.
Do you think ESL though would be okay with that? Because look at them already.
I mean, it's too late now.
Apart from their name having YP in it, you said it yourself. You go to their website and you do not see anything about YouPorn on their website. There is nothing on there that even relates to it other than,
I mean,
the initials.
The Score Esports went as far to report that Team YP has actually gone and done everything they can to if you search for Team YP, you will never see a YouPorn link on like Google.
So they are literally playing by all the rules. They are, you know, playing by the rules. They are catering to the crowd that feels like they shouldn't be right in the open. To play devil's advocate here just for a second, though, I don't think, because I know some people are saying, oh, it's just prudeness. I don't think not wanting a porno sponsor is being prude, first off.
I don't think it's prude.
There are things worse out there than porno. That's no question. Like, to me, it's silly that you don't want them there, but it's like you're acting like it's some financial drug ring that is like supporting this team.
I just don't like that it's pornography is bad, but underage gambling. And I know this is a straw man that a lot of people are using.
Well,
but
it's a straw man. It's a slippery slope argument to where, okay, so you porn bad, but Bud Light Esports and how nitpicky do you want to get with this?
Kingwin and G2A.
Kingwin, G2A, you could make the argument of, oh, but having Monster everywhere at your events where people can literally just have free monsters for days, which can directly lead to like health issues. Like how, that's what, you know, you want my point though.
Yeah.
I'm not making this argument, but I'm just saying how ridiculous do you want to keep going with this to where.
But so like ESL's statement says, like the very first line, it says advertising pornography is not legal in the markets we operate in.
And they're not advertising it at all.
They're not advertising it, but underage gambling is illegal just about everywhere. But you're advertising websites that specifically target those underage gamblers to make money off of them. And the only reason you're okay with it is because they give you a lot of money as well. Like, if I wonder if YouPorn just went in and like threw a checkbook at them. If ESL would be like, oh, you know what? Team YP, they're really not that closely related. Like, the Y and the P are just a coincidence.
After a further evaluation, we have decided that. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's difficult. ESL has a right to ban whoever they want to ban from their events, but they also have to make comment, or they have to make sense of why they're doing it.
And as far as betting is concerned, I'm looping back to that real quick. It's almost like people outside of esports don't understand what the betting stuff is and don't realize what it is and that it's gambling. It's just you're gambling with in-game items that can be converted to currency. Whereas if you say YouPorn, every 16-year-old's parent is going to be like,
pornography.
Yeah. Don't worry. Little Jimmy is watching that every time 10 o'clock hits. He gets back on the computer.
I guess it sucks. Like, you feel bad for the organization. And I know Claire, their head of esports, you know, PR, basically everything. It's their esports manager. You know, she kind of came and made a comment and said, you know, we're dealing with it as it comes. And, you know, out of context, that's essentially what it said. Is like, it sucks. It sucks. I feel personally that it's, I don't know, kind of unnecessary. It's like you said. First off, Team YP was not getting on like main stages anytime soon.
They didn't even have a men's team in Counter-Strike.
No, they don't have a men's team in CS:GO anymore. Yeah, Dragon is good in StarCraft
and Valmaster did Valmaster pretty well, yeah.
And Filipino man, they're both really good at Street Fighter V. But at the same time, like you said it earlier, like a lot of people probably wouldn't have known Team YP was sponsored by YouPorn. Now that this is out, everybody knows it.
We wouldn't be talking about it.
No, and congratulations, ESL, because all you did was make everybody support them now, whether it be for the sake of a bit or the fact that they really feel like it's not that big a deal. It's the ever ongoing thing of when is, I guess, enough not enough.
Right.
Because I really did feel like Team YP, because I was always explained to my fiance, who oddly enough, like, isn't like a fan of porno, but I was telling her, like, yeah, they're sponsored by Team YP, but like, look at their website. It's actually kind of cool that they are taking it serious.
Their website, I mean, as far as esports websites go, top notch.
And I've always been impressed with how professional they have handled themselves to where, because at first, like, I was really worried that YouPorn was going to make this a bit. Like, just, like, I have really studied their logo looking for hidden penises. Like, I've probably spent more time than what somebody should looking for penises on their logo, but I've done it and I can't find one. So they are, this isn't like a
big
bit.
Joke.
Yeah, this isn't a joke. They're really doing this to get into esports and now trying to support players. And so I view it as almost like they're, you know, they're supporting jobs and everything, where now this really affects it because ESL is a big player in the events. As far as even like qualifiers for, you know, Worlds and Capcom and everything.
ESL also rolls into DreamHack because the same company that owns ESL bought DreamHack.
Oh, that's right. I did not think about that.
So, I mean, now you're looking at, you have MLG and FaceIt, which, if I had to guess, I don't think FaceIt would have as big of an issue with it. I just seem like, it just seems to me like they're kind of the cooler, less popular brand that would take the publicity of allowing Team YP to play. But not like you said, not that they're qualifying for the ECS anytime soon.
No, I could understand like if the players were coming out and they had like strap-ons and everything on there, and you had like a porn star there trying to promote the team. Like, I could understand if ESL was like, look, we can't have like a mini porn studio at our events. I could totally understand that. But to this, it's just a, it looks like a business to me.
Yeah.
And a weird business decision for ESL to think this is where we're going to make a stand on.
Yeah.
When there's been so many other times where I felt like they could have made a stand and they choose to go with this one. Out of all of them, this is the one where they were like, no, we can't have this sponsorship. It's very odd, and only time will tell, I guess, on where esports tolerance goes, because that's also been a discussion on this show where will... We've always said, when will the tolerance end? And I guess we have an answer here. It's going to end at pornography.
There you go.
That's the... We always wondered where the line is, and we have finally crossed that line where ESL doesn't want to mess with it. Which, maybe that's a thing. You know, maybe ESL is wanting some big-time sponsors, and they think that if they have this team that is sponsored by YouPorn, that that's going to hurt, you know, Coca-Cola or somebody else looking at them. That's me playing devil's advocate, thinking that,
I mean, if you're going to ban them, now's the time to do it when you don't have a big sponsor. And it's not like, I mean, I guess you could have just let it go, right? But what happens if next year down the line or whatever, Team YP picks up this really good team and all of a sudden qualifies for ESL-1 or you know, whatever, Cologne, something like that?
Yeah, nip it in the butt now before it becomes a real issue, even though I still feel like it is a real issue. I just wonder how much of this outcry is just falling on deaf ears. Like, all these Twitter hashtags and people just blowing up ESL on Twitter. How much of it do you think they don't care about? Just probably 99% of it. I don't think ESL is going to budge. Moving on, though, we'll keep a close eye on the ESL versus Team YP. But for now, let's talk a little bit about the EU Summer Regionals for Heroes of the Storm. This is part of that ongoing series that the Blizzard is doing all year long for this. MVP won the Spring Regionals, which was, we were in Columbus because we watched it in the hotel room.
Oh, yep.
So, 3 weeks ago? But that's when the Springs finished, and MVP Black ended up winning there. So that was the Korean team winning on home soil in Korea. Well, now you had the Summer Regionals, where, for European, I should say, this is not the actual Summer Championships, but this is the European Regionals. We watched the finals on this the other day. You had Team Dignitas versus My Insanity, where you had made the comparison that they probably wouldn't be so bad if their logo didn't look like Hot Topic designed it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my 13-year-old niece has that shirt.
Which... I don't argue with that statement. It does look very Hot Topic-like. But this finals here, it was actually a really good finals. Let me pull up here. Where is this? Yes. So, first off, Team Dignitas, they are the number one European team. And I believe, like, number three in the world, according to most websites out there. I mean, Dignitas is a player. They've won big tournaments. I believe they will actually also be at DreamHack Austin. Which is in a couple weeks.
Past encounters, though, Dignitas did take the last one 3-0, but before that, they were actually beat 2-0 three separate times by My Insanity, who according to, I'm sure, a very popular Twitter vote with like maybe 15 votes. My Insanity was supposed to take it. Anyway.
I feel like with MOBAs in general is the better team can lose, and it all is based off of how the draft plays out.
The draft is so important.
Like, top 10 teams can probably, or maybe not, we'll say top 5 teams can probably all compete with each other based off of how the draft works, which I really feel, apart from game 1, Dignitas had a much stronger team comp throughout this entire finals year. I mean, in game 1, it was on Tomb of the Spider Queen, already a very objective heavy map because the spider blast, whatever the hell you want to call it, that the queens shoot out at the structures, dominates structures. So it's one that you really want to, I feel like you want to focus on the objectives on. But here you have this draft here. My Insanity had Johanna. They drafted Zul, Zagara. Who was that? Li Ming. They had a lot of... Karazin was their support. So that wasn't a bad draft. But nonetheless, Dignitas still came out on top of that. That, I felt, game one was the best opportunity for My Insanity to take a map.
And it looked like about midway through that My Insanity was kind of taking it to Dignitas. Like, they were playing well and then just kind of had a momentum shift. I think there was a boss steal
you're right.
in that one.
Yeah, you're right to where... Up until, I would say, the last 4 minutes of the game, My Insanity was winning. I believe they even had at one point like a 2-level advantage on Dignitas and then lost it and then lost the game. Map 2 was on Sky Temple, where I honestly felt Dignitas... We were watching it live and we saw the draft. And from the draft, I was saying, there is no way Dignitas can lose this one. That's even when they drafted an Abathur. Who I notoriously despise. I think
I hate Abathur because every time I play with somebody on Abathur, it's awful. But on a map like Sky Temple, where when everybody does go to the objective, it does pay to have somebody. And that's why I felt like Dignitas banned the Lost Vikings, who, by the way, during the tournament had like an 80% win rate. But they banned Lost Vikings and then take Abathur, who can soak experience in an off lane while the objective's going on.
But I mean, look at, you can't, so Team Dignitas had Kalthos, they had Maraudin, they had Thrall, Uther, and Abathur. Four of those five heroes all have some form of stun or holding ability that can take out guys like ETC, where once you stun him, his ulti is useless. You have Lunara and Lu Ming, where really once they get stunned, if you could stun lock them, which you can with that type of lineup that Dignitas had, Lunara is going to be melted away within seconds. Lunara has one of the smallest health pools in the game. And then Li Ming, if you can keep her blink at bay, if you can keep her from teleporting away, that's another one that can be killed very quickly if you get them in that stun lock. And then you also have Rhaegar's still a popular pick. I guess the pros can play him better than what I can.
The most picked hero. Yeah.
He was the most picked. I think, what was it, like 80% of the time in this tournament, Rhaegar was
83%
picked.
Of the time.
Okay, 83. So I guess pros can play him better than we can. But I just feel like for a main support, he's difficult to heal around. Now, that being said, ETC has some sustainability in the sense of he has a self-heal. And then Dahaka, I mean, that guy is basically, he has 2 health bars if you go with the right ulti and everything there. But map 2, Sky Temple, was really no challenge there. And then Infernal Shrine, again, game 3.
I want to talk about game 3. JPL's stitches on game 3 on that map was outstanding.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. Maybe you have them there. Maybe this is it. No. But he was the top hero damage. His stitches He went with the Smash build first off, which you can typically do running a dual support. You don't have to kind of have that the sustainability build from Stitches when you have Uther and Tassadar, like Dignitas did for map 3. So that's probably why JPL was able to go with that Smash build. But that Smash build is no joke when it comes to doing hero damage. I mean, he dominated. You're talking out hero damaging guys like Falstead and Wubby on Thrall. I mean, he out hero damaged some of the top assassins who typically are guaranteed to top on the hero damage.
I did laugh at kind of got a chuckle out of my insanity first banning Kael'thas after games 1 and game 2 where Mini was basically just wrecking face with KT. Then he gets dropped onto Falstad, who they banned in the previous game in game 2. So he's on Falstad and you think, you know, they're going to just, you know, rack up damage that way. And then it ends up being the warrior that just, and his hooks, the skill shots that he took, he was pulling Li Ming constantly right into them. And then once you're there, Li Ming's done. You're not going to get away fast enough.
Well, no, and that's what I said, like, with people like Li Ming, and again, that's the second map where you see that they took the Li Ming and Lunara combo, which, are they both really good assassins? Yes. Li Ming is ridiculous, and Lunara is really good if you can land your shots and everything, but with a dual support, I feel like that really waters down Lunara's poison's capability. Because that's two people just constantly
posting up shield or some type of cleanse. So, with Uther, so I mean, it's not quite as effective.
And even with Stitches, you have his E ability that once he hits a minion and everything, he gets so much health back. So again, right out of the draft, you just feel that My Insanity had no chance in winning this. And they really didn't throughout the whole thing. Like you said, that Stitches, JPL Stitches dominated. Dignitas ended up going 3-0, winning the EU regionals. And like I said, I think both of them will be at DreamHack. And I believe that's DreamHack Austin that they will be at. So
I'm looking forward to watching some Heroes of the Storm.
By the way, next week we will do a full-on DreamHack Austin preview covering most of all the games that will be at DreamHack Austin, because we will be there Friday through Sunday. We will be there to see all of that action. We'll be bouncing around from Heroes of the Storm, Street Fighter, Smash. They have so much going on. We're moving on to the micro here in just a second, but I don't see how DreamHack, like, after looking at all the things going on at DreamHack Austin, it's almost like 3 days is not going to be enough.
Oh.
Like, have you looked at their schedule?
They're going to be such long days.
It's so, like, do you have the schedule up in front of you? I think, like, Friday, the doors open at noon, and they don't close till, like, midnight, and we'll be there all day. Saturday, I think they open up at, like, 9.
Actually, Friday, they open at 3 p.m.
Oh, okay.
And they're open till midnight.
Okay.
Saturday is 10 a.m. to midnight. And then Sunday is 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So it seems like there's so much to fit in that small amount of time. I mean, literally, we have to go see Heroes. We have to go see Smash, Street Fighters.
Well, the problem is, they're obviously having multiple stages, and all the games are overlapping, so we're going to have to pick and choose.
I mean, when Energy and Splice play in Counter-Strike, we can go watch Heroes of the Storm, because this Counter-Strike team lineup is very lackluster. Very, very lackluster. Very NA, but very lackluster, and kind of a letdown, to be honest with you. When I was hoping to see some Fnatic or Nip action going on. So moving on to the micro. One day we'll have production value on the show. Not today. Real quick, I wanted to touch on Smash Summit 2 happened this weekend. You had the rematch of HBox and Armada. Armada ended up actually taking down HBox this time around. Smash is one of those rare esports where you can have the same five guys in the top five every time.
Every single time.
Gets old, though. Like, I don't want to see new people in the Smash scene. I'm okay with watching Armada every time. Or Mango every time. Which, by the way, Mango might not ever win another tournament in his life, but he still is always the most exciting person to watch. Move on to your micro.
Panda Global announced a sponsorship for Geico Gaming. You might know Panda Global if you follow Smash, Street Fighter, Capcom games, or Heroes of the Storm. Surprised personally that Geico went with a team that doesn't have an LCS team or a Counter-Strike team or a Dota 2 team, you know, the big three.
Maybe start small.
But waters out. They have been sponsored by Geico Gaming, which is a pretty big deal.
And there was also another big brand going into sponsors.
Bud Light. On May 7th at DreamHack Austin, actually, we'll be able to participate in this. And they'll unveil a list of top players from across North America where fans can vote on their favorites. And on June 14th, the first Bud Light All-Stars will be named.
Not interested in it, but okay. I like seeing the big brands coming into the sponsorship world, even if it's just for the sake of now it's marketing and they realize more people watch it. They don't care. Bud Light doesn't give a rip on who the top players are.
No, it's a fan voted All-Star game. So it's the Bud Light All-Stars will wrap up their summer festivities at TwitchCon 2016, competing in a 3-round elimination tournament. Quote, unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. If it's anything like the All-Star game from MLG, I'm out.
Oh my God, what a waste of time.
Couldn't care less. Anyway. Speaking of couldn't care less, the PGL 1v1 tournament that happened this weekend.
I didn't even know. I mean, I saw tweets going out, but
I just don't care. I don't care about one-on-one. In Counter-Strike, it's a team 5v5 type of playstyle. I don't care. I don't want to watch 1v1. It's the most pointless waste of time, and I only watched a few things because I tried. I wanted to like it. I wanted to like all.
I wanted to.
Yeah, believe me, I want to be that guy who's like, oh, it's esports. Who cares? It's awesome. No, it wasn't. It was not entertaining. I didn't like it personally. You also had the big thing in Dota 2, which I wish we had more time to break it down and discuss. But, you know, when matches start at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, I just.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I just don't have the energy. But Dota 2 in Manila, Wings Gaming ended up winning that all, where Liquid ended up taking second place. Liquid seems to be lately always the bridesmaid, never the bride when it comes to Dota. Really, just overall this weekend. You had HBox come in second. You had Team Liquid come in second for Dota. And then the CSGO roster got blown up. So,
blown up.
An emotional weekend for Liquid. And then, last but not least, you did have the announcement in CSGO that LDLC is coming back to CSGO, so that's kind of exciting. They haven't been around for a while there, but that is where Existence is getting back into the game. So gotcha. It only took him, a couple of weeks to find a new team, and now he's back. So, yeah. LDLC backing CSGO. Do you have anything else for the micro, sir?
That's it. Let's do it.
Good deal. Well, guys, that was just about it for episode 29 of The Center Ring TCR, also known as your favorite esports podcast. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I sure did. You can catch us all of the old episodes and YouTube channel things eventually. Everything to do with the show, really, you can find on our website. tcr.gg. You can follow the show on Twitter, which if you listen to the show, please follow us on Twitter. We'd love to discuss everything there. We have a few people we talk to on Twitter. Like
there is some, yeah.
Well, like one or two. That's good. Good discussion. Somewhere. Good discussion. In fact, I did want to bring this up here, even though the outro music is going. We were asked one question on Twitter is, do you think the match fixing which I don't even think I brought up. There was match fixing drama in StarCraft.
What is new?
Yeah, right? Do we think it's more prevalent in StarCraft and compared to other esports? My theory on that is No, because StarCraft is a 1v1 type of game, and it's a lot easier to convince someone to throw a game when all you have to do is pay off one person compared to five. So that's my theory on that. Is that if all I have to do is make one person make a stupid decision, I'm going to go with that as opposed to trying to get five people to make stupid decisions.
And that question, by the way, came from Troy Gillis on Twitter.
Yes, esports photographer Troy Gillis. So that's the type of stuff. If you follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring, I'm at Pirate Mushroom, Brandon's at Brand Any New. That's this type of stuff you can ask us and get our answers before we record the show. But nonetheless, all of that can be found on our website, tcr.gg. As for today, that is just going to do it. We will be back next week, Monday-ish, as we do a full preview of DreamHack Austin for all of the teams there, for CSGO, down to Smash, Heroes of the Storm, you name it. We're going to talk about it for DreamHack Austin since we will be there. Until then, though, I hope you all take it very, very easy, and we will be back for episode 30 next week.